Good morning, yet again. Welcome to Adventures in Companionship with myself, Rifule, and the amazing Dr. Bill Price. And today we're doing things a bit differently, inviting you into a different path. It's like we're still on the same journey, but we're just introducing you to another light of life, another way of life, another way of thinking, I would say.
Let's be different. Let's dare.
Dare to be different.
Dare to be different. Come on. We hate sameness, don't we?
I mean, imagine eating the same thing every
Oh,
day.
my word. Now, look, that's enough for me. I go like, when I've had eggs 2 days in a row for breakfast, and I'm going, okay, now give me something else here. Let me go for those post toasties.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm so well. I'm really excited. I'm thrilled. I'm thankful. I woke up this morning, and I read the scripture that Jesus quoted when he died on the cross. Into thy hands I commit my spirit, was a quote from the book of Psalms. And you can read that in the book of Psalms where he says, into your hands I commit my spirit. The Hebrew word there for commit means I deposit my spirit. He deposited his spirit into the hands of God. And I have now made that almost like a morning meditation and an evening meditation. So I, in the morning, I wake up and I'm thankful for the new day and for the new opportunities. And there's actually a Jewish blessing that is quoted. So the Jewish nation have a blessing for everything. It's a blessing for food, a blessing for water, a blessing if you move, a blessing if you sit down. And so the blessing reads, "Blessed be the Lord who gives us a new day, fresh with life, fresh with vitality, and fresh with his righteous goodness." And then in the evening, there's another blessing. Blessed be the Lord who has given us a day in which we've enjoyed his blessing and his goodness and his faithfulness. And blessed is the Lord who gives to his beloved righteousness, goodness, protection, and peace in his sleep. So I'm now using those two blessings, in one in the morning and one in the evening, just to remind myself. So at night, I literally am now depositing my being into the heart of God. And if I don't wake up tomorrow morning, I've made my deposit into his heart. So if I don't wake up breathing tomorrow, then I'm with him anyway. Hallelujah. Yeah. So we're learning new things every day as we go. And one of my mentors, Dr. David Mulapu, he always used to say to me, "Bill, if you're not growing, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're dying." And everyone who's listening, I really want to encourage you to become a lifelong learner. Don't just be a person who says, "I've got matric," or "I've got a degree," or "I've got this and that," and that's the end of your learning. Learning is to be inquisitive. Learning needs to be positive and powerful. So I'd like to talk a little bit about in our interpersonal relationships and in our companionship. So it starts off where we have someone who's we have fellowship with, someone that we just get to know. And companionship then moves from there into almost like we now greet one another more often. So those who are you are more regular listeners, we're still companions, but we're more connected companions. And then it goes deeper that the companion now becomes a person with whom we start sharing freely and openly, and that we have a sense of camaraderie. We have a sense that we can open up ourselves toward that person, and we become almost like buddies on the air, or buddies We can even invite the person to a meal, and we have a meal and something to drink with them, and we share stories and life stories, and then we become companions. A companion is a commonality of sharing, a commonality. In other words, we like each other's companionship. We like each other's presence of being. And then that begins to develop with time and energy and effort and all the other criteria that we've mentioned in the series so far. And the person becomes a close companion, a companion that we'd be able to pick up the phone and say, hey, I'm wanting to go away for a weekend to a dam or a game farm or travel somewhere, and wouldn't you like to come with me? And from there, the process then develops into what is known as friendship. And then friendship begins to evolve with time and energy and effort and all the conscious awareness that we put into it, and it becomes a close, intimate friend. So a close, intimate friend is someone that I could pick up the phone at any time and share my heart with, share this is what I'm thinking, this is what I'm feeling, this is where I'm at. And then the closeness and the intimacy of that friendship brings a presence of calmness. So when I pick up the phone and I talk to that person, there's a sense of connection. There's also a sense of I'm calm with you. And then the person evolves and the relationship evolves into one of where we become each other's confidant. So in other words, I can share confidentially with you things that possibly have happened in my life, traumas. I have a friend like that who, when I start talking about some of the traumas in my past, he says to me, I just want to remind you, let's walk lightly. So we don't go into the past and you walk there heavily. He said, you just visit lightly because it's past. It's done. It's dusted. You can't do anything about it. It's done. He said, so I just want to remind you, let's travel lightly when we go there. And then go into the past with a question. What if it wasn't a trauma? What if it was just an experience? And I thought about that. Wow. What if it wasn't a trauma? And in my mind, because that's where we create our reality, is within our mind. We create, oh my goodness, this was the worst thing that ever happened to me. It was therefore a trauma. But what if I can change that in my thinking and call it another name? And the moment we call it another name, we look and feel about it differently. So what was once a trauma is now an experience. How would you visit that experience? How would you visit differently? How would you relate to it differently with regards to that? And then the confidant eventually becomes the chosen one. And that's the one that I kind of start thinking about. Wow, I'd really like to walk a journey with you. And if you are already have someone in a couple's relationship, then that should be your best friend anyway. And then you move towards the final one, which is your soulmate, where you're connected to each other in community and in oneness of becoming. But there are a few words that we need to look at in terms of relating to this interpersonal relationship.
Mm.
So we move from like to desire, which is the word lust. And then we move to love, and then we can move to obsession. So the words go, first of all, I like you. So in this journey of companionship, I like you. I like who you are. I like where you are. I like the kind of person that you are. I was in a township on Sunday and invited there the minister of the head of the Christian Democratic Party was speaking, and I was amongst people that I didn't know, but we were amongst people that were kindred. And to listen to Reverend Kenneth speak was absolutely an amazing experience. And at the end of it, we went outside and I stood amongst a group of about five amazing African men. And we took our masks off and we started relating and chatting. And I thought, let me just throw something into the space. And I said, so which one of you is going to be the next president? And the most handsome young man looked at me, grabbed me on my arm, and he said, indubitably me indeed. I thought, wow. And here we started talking about his dream and about his desire to want to get involved in politics as a Christian and to influence and to be the salt of the earth and God's light in the world of government. And his story started unfolding as he told me that he is now going to become, he's going to make himself eligible as a counselor. He's going to be one of the youngest counselors in the area. And I said, go for it, go for it, go for it. Whatever you need to do, absolutely go for it. And I like him. I liked him because he had guts. He had courage. So Lycus also got to do with the development of a state of mind. So there's something that budded between us. There's something that ignited between us. And so we don't hang up on each other. It's not like you make a phone call to a customer service department and they put you on hold and you listen to crazy music that goes diddly 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 diddly. And you listen to that for 20 minutes and then they say, thank you for your patience. I'm going, my patience is running out, honey. Move on. And then you get to the place where your like is free and it's full of feeling and it's reciprocal, and we live with freshness in what I like. Then we move to the next phase, which is desire. And very interesting that the same word for desire is the word lust. So you can, wherever you see the word lust in the Bible, you can change it to the word desire. If you, the lust of the flesh, the desires of the flesh are exactly the same.
Yeah.
It's just that the translators used lust because it sounds bad. It sounds worse. Sounds ugly. It sounds awful. Sounds dangerous. So we must stay away from it. But the word desire means that the like becomes strong. It becomes stronger. The like becomes more intense. In other words, we are more in contact in the now moment. The like becomes a desire when we start calling one another regularly and there's intention in our calls and in our conversation. The like becomes desire when we create opportunities to be with each other. And we have both non-emotional experiences as well as physical experiences. And I'm not talking about bad, illicit sexual experiences. I'm talking about just enjoying each other's company. And I have the privilege to be able to shake your hand and put my hand on your shoulder and look in your eyes and just say, you know what, I bless you, I appreciate you. And take the like to another level. So the level of like moves into the level of desire, where there's this freshness, where there's this beauty of mutual recognition with each other. And then from desire moves love. Now, love, we heard about in a previous session, there's different kinds of love. There's eros love, which is physical. There's filio love, which is friendship love. There is storge love, which is crazy love, like a brother and a sister and family. There is love that the Bible speaks of as agape love. And then there's just love for the sake of loving, which is another Greek word that I can't remember right now. But then love becomes a little bit deeper. It becomes different. The care is now unconditional. And it's intentionally so. And a majority of the interaction that's now taking place falls into the category of, I love being with you. I love you as a person. I love your dream. I love your passion. I love your love for God. I love your love for life. And there's a happiness and a growing that takes place to say, I want to spend a lot of time with you. But sadly, and this is because of neediness. So in our ego, You always know when your ego is working because it says two things automatically. I want because I don't have. So on the one side of the coin is I want, and the other side of the coin is I don't have.
Yeah.
So the moment you live out of ego, you're living out of I want and therefore I don't have. So it puts you on the back foot all the time. Whereas if we realize that we must live not in our ego, but we must live in our essence, in our identity of who we are, in our inner essence in God, there we already have all things pertaining to life and godliness. But sadly, when there's an emptiness there, then love turns to obsession. Now, how do I know I'm obsessed in any relationship? Well, I'm obsessed when I'm continually preoccupied in my mind about it or about the person. I wake up and I think about them. I'm not concentrating on my work because I'm thinking about the person. I'm thinking about the time that I'd like to spend with the person, the things that I'd like to say to the person, the things that I'd like to do with the person. So love then shifts into obsession.
Mm.
And then it becomes a competition because obsession says, I need to compete so that I can win your attention or affection. And so by any means necessary, I start doing and becoming so that I can win and woo your attention. And so how does it work? Well, have a look at your cell phone. How many texts have you sent that person? What is the content of those texts? What's the content of the voicemails? Do you send them a day, any time of the day, any time of the night, regardless of the response or the lack of? So whether the person responds to you or doesn't respond, you just keep on sending because you are obsessed with this person, absolutely obsessed. And you literally, in obsession, there are people who want to convince people to give in to this pressure of obsession because they want to gain control. There's a secret desire to want to gain control with obsession. So we can check ourselves, and that's called examine. We need to examine ourselves. Take some time and ask yourself the question, so where am I, and list on a piece of paper your friends, draw them around you in circles, and go, okay, so here's my exchange group, they're the outer circle, and then there's my participation group, they're the next circle, then there's my friendship group, they're closer to me, and then there is my intimacy group, and that's really close to me. Who are in those circles? So from the center circle, intimacy, then friendship, then participation what we call in companions, and then exchange is also just companions that are not well known. Who would you put in those circles? And then ask yourself, what time do I spend with them? Do I like them? Do I love them? Do I desire to be with them, or am I obsessed about them? And those that are obsessed, you need to spend some time double-checking because there's a lack in your life that's screaming out so that you can try and own someone.
Yeah.
And that's not love. Owning is not love at all.
No, it can't be.
Mm-mm.
No, it can't be. All right. Thank you so much, family, for tuning in. This is Adventures in Companionship. Dr. Bill Price was just, helping us understand the fundamentals of love, and that very important. You cannot love something and want to own it and stop it from flourishing.
Right.
Because it has to bloom. It has to flourish. Whatever you love, you make sure that, it reaches its full potential.
Yeah. Hold it lightly.
Yeah.
Hold it lightly.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see you next time right here on Adventures in Companionship.
From your ear to your heart to your mouth to your feet, join this life on 657 AM.
For there is a time to search and a time to give up, a time to reap and a time to sow. Radio Pulpit wishes to be there at all times, even when you just need prayer. Send us your prayer request by calling 067-429-7564 or email it to prayer@radiopulpit.co.za.
It's here. Radio Pulpit's new website is live. You can tune in at radiopulpit.co.za and enjoy crystal clear sound with just a click of a button, or listen to our podcasts. Discover biblical truths in our daily devotionals and let our stories of hope inspire you. You can download our app on this new look, easy to use platform. Find your favorite program, get to know our presenters, and so much more at radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion. You and 657 AM and Life, a winning team on the road to eternity.